Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. My guest today is Allison Green, the woman behind Ask a Manager and author of the book Ask a Manager, How to Navigate Clueless Colleagues, Lunch-Stealing Bosses, and the Rest of Your Life at Work, which is out today, you guys. Go buy it. It is wonderful and hilarious and kind of horrifying, but in that satisfying way. Hi, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's so exciting to have you here. I know that people were very excited about this crossover, about our Ask-a extravaganza, as I've been calling it.
Well, I'm so excited to be here today. I'm such a fan of your work. I recently got a stain out of a favorite shirt thanks to your advice.
Yay! What was the stain?
Some sort of cooking oil. Is it called Lest Oil? There was something you said to buy and I bought it and it worked.
That makes me so happy. I love Lest Oil and I love when things work and I love when stains are removed.
I felt like a magician. I couldn't believe it.
Yay! That's awesome. That makes me very, very happy. You guys, today we are not going to be talking about Lest Oil. We are going to be talking about workplace cleaning conundrums, mostly bad behavior. And so that means that I get to have actually a little bit of a break today from being the expert, because Allison is really going to be doing the bulk of the work today in terms of helping us sort out like what to do when people are leaving their boogers on the walls of the office bathroom, which is a real thing that happens. And we're going to talk about it today. Before we get into it, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson. All right. We have our first question. I am, as I said, because I'm not going to actually be the main expert today, I'm going to be playing co-hosting duty and reading all the questions off, which I'm very excited about. So we have our first question comes from user AED from Twitter, who asks, how do you clean your new desk without looking like an asshole when your coworker was the one who previously sat there in all of its filth?
I
loved this question. I had a take on it, but I want to hear yours.
I honestly think you can just go for it. I mean, I think people know that different people have different standards of cleanliness, but if anyone does comment on it or looks at you strangely while you're cleaning, I think you can make it about you rather than about your filthy coworker. You know, you can make a self-deprecating comment about how you're neurotic about cleaning any new space and you do a full scrub down every time you move to a new house and that kind of thing. But really, I don't think it's too weird to be seen doing this.
I agree. I had the same reaction, which was basically just go for it and put it on you. Just be like, oh, it's just like my new job ritual, or like I'm a little germophobic or whatever, and like I wouldn't worry about it. I thought it would be helpful to give you guys like a quick rundown of like the best way to clean a desk, because they're actually cleaning a desk isn't particularly complicated at all, but there is like an order of operations that is helpful to know about. So I figured I would like just kind of pop that in, and Allison, maybe you'll be like, oh, I can like use this in some future thing. So if you're gonna like clean a new desk off, the first thing to do is to start with the trash, meaning clear all the trash off the desk and throw away all the stuff that you need to be throwing away, like the packets of soy sauce that you're never actually going to use and the 10,000 napkins that you don't need that are just like hanging around. So throw all that stuff out. Then pare down all your office supplies. My friend Anne is a professional organizer, and she always says, she's like, literally every single home and office has more pens than anyone can functionally ever use. And she loves to say, there are a finite number of pens that you need in your life. And I think that's really good advice. Then after that, you want to go through your papers and your files, organize those, pitch or shred what you don't need, recycle all of that. Then you clean. Now at that point, like, the desk itself should be free of stuff. And so it's really easy to like wipe off a space. One thing to bear in mind, though, is that you're going to want to clean your keyboard, and you're probably going to want to use canned air for it. You always want to do the canned air first, because it will blow out all the stuff that's like lurking in your keyboard, and it's going to blow it all over everything, including your computer monitor and the desk itself. So if you've already cleaned those things first and then you use the canned air, you're going to have to clean those things a second time, because all the crumbs and cat hair is going to go flying everywhere. So you do your canned air first, then you clean the desk off and electronics, just like, you know, all purpose cleaner and paper towels is fine, or Lysol or Clorox wipes, those are fine. And then you put everything back in a way and kind of organize it. So that's like your basic desk cleaning routine. So nothing mind blowing really with that, but the canned air thing is pretty clutch. All right. Speaking of which, we do have a question. Actually, Allison, I'm going to have you read this one from Kate.
Okay. Kate says, telephone receivers in the office. How often and with what can I sanitize it? I realized it's the cause of my chin acne.
Yes. So I popped this one in here because it's a really fast answer, but I thought this was such a good question, because it's really so true that if you're often on a landline phone for work, or actually, like, even if you're noticing that you're getting chin acne and you're using your cell phone and you haven't cleaned it, just rubbing alcohol is all you need to clean that off. Alcohol wipes are great things to stash in an office. You can buy those at the pharmacy. You can get a box of like 1,000 for $5. They're pre-moistened pads that are pre-moistened with rubbing alcohol. They come in little individually foil wrapped packets, which are awesome for an office, not only to wipe off things like, you know, your cell phone or your telephone monitor or telephone receiver. They're also really great in a pinch when you need to do some stain removal, because rubbing alcohol is a great stain remover. Particularly good on ink, which also can be helpful to remember in an office situation. So yeah, I just figured I would do that like quick little one. Kate also asked about how often she should be doing it. I mean, you don't need to be doing it every single day, but like once a week isn't a bad idea. And what I would suggest is if you use a calendar, like an Outlook calendar or a Google calendar that has a reminder function on it, set a reminder for like every Friday afternoon that says clean your phone receiver off, and just do it once a week and just like have it be, then you have the reminder and you don't even have to think about it. So yeah, that was my little tip. So then we have now moving on from the desk topics, we have, this was, I think, Allison, probably the number one topic that we got asked about when we put the call out for Twitter, which is the dreaded office sponge, the disgusting office sponge. There were two questions. They were different enough that I'm going to use them both. So I'm going to read both of these questions, and then Allison and I are going to talk about sponge hygiene and bad sponge behavior. So Liz asks, why do the kitchen sponges always look, feel, and smell like they've spent years in the garbage dump island in the middle of the ocean? And then Johanna asks, is there any realistic way to get people to stop leaving the sponge in the sink? So I can help with I can answer the first one, but the second one, I think that's on Allison.
I think it's so interesting that we got a bunch of sponge questions, because I get a ton of questions at Ask a Manager about bad behavior in office kitchens, like the fridge and the microwave, and no one cleans off the counters. I've actually never been asked about the sponges before.
Really? I hear about it all the time. I do. And I was not surprised that it came up so much that people are so grossed out about them. But I also kind of wonder if the reason that people aren't asking you so much about it is that it's like maybe the questions that they have would be more along the lines of like, why is this gross, rather than the behavioral type questions.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So the, it probably makes sense that I'm the one who hears more about the office sponges.
Yeah.
And you probably hear more about like, my coworker won't stop microwaving fish.
Exactly. That is exactly what I hear about.
Which we did get a lot of those too. All right. Well, let me answer the first question, which is like, why are they so gross? Because it's actually a pretty quick answer. And it probably like won't surprise people so much. I mean, really, the biggest problem is that people don't wring their sponges out when they're done using them. And especially in the office, like you don't care as much, or you're not as like thoughtful or considerate, I guess, maybe when it's not your own. Even though you should be more thoughtful and considerate when it's not your own and it's a shared thing. But you know, human nature is just what it is. So that's the reason that kind of they're always so gross, is that basically people are using them all day and they're leaving them wet instead of wringing them out. The other thing is that a lot of times offices don't put a sponge holder in. The sponge holder, if you get the right one, if you get one that's got holes in it, or is sort of a slatted style one, will keep the sponge, well, will allow air to circulate more around the sponge and keep it drier, which will keep more bacteria from developing and keep the smells from developing. So I mean, basically, the answer, the solution to this is, if people wring the sponge out after they use it, then they put it into a sponge holder that allows for drainage and air circulation and drying out. And then also just the last thing, which is like, the office sponge should be replaced often. Like, yes, you can microwave it. Yes, you can run it through the dishwasher if you have one of those in the office, all of that kind of stuff. But realistically, for a sponge that's being used that often and by that many people, you should just replace it often. I think that's just the best way to go. And I always want to take into consider things like waste and environmental impact, but like, I just really think in this case, like, have 50 sponges and replace them once a week. Like, they're so gross, you know? Or have 12 and replace them once a month.
I almost think more than once a week. I mean, I guess depending on how big your office is, but.
I think more than once a week is probably excessive for fully replacing a sponge. But yeah, once a week would be great. I mean, if you could get a fresh sponge every Monday morning, pitch that thing on Friday when you're heading out for happy hour. That's the
Yeah,
dream. That's the
that is
office
the dream.
dream. Yeah. All right. So that's what I have to say. I mean, Allison, what do you have to say? Like, is putting a sign up an option? Does that work?
It's an option, but it's probably not going to have a major impact. I think
Okay.
it's hard, bordering on impossible. No, it really is just impossible to solve often kitchen cleanliness problems. There's a social science term, the tragedy of the commons, where when there's a shared space, no one feels responsible for it, and so everyone mistreats it. And that is very much the office kitchen situation. Or you get a couple of people who feel responsible for it, usually women, and no one else does. And so those few people do it, and then they get really resentful over time. The only thing I've ever seen consistently work for office kitchens is having someone, like one person or two people, who are in charge of the space. It's part of their job to replace the sponge and wipe off the counters and clean out the fridge and so forth. If you leave it up to everyone, always wants to think like, oh, we're professional adults, we should be able to handle this without a chore chart or signs or any kind of enforcement. But the reality is, in most offices, if you just leave it up to expecting everyone to act responsibly, you will very quickly have a very gross, germ-ridden kitchen.
Well, that makes me sad. So really, the answer is you got to bake it into people's job descriptions, or maybe it's something where like, can you assign it to people every week or every month?
You could. I wouldn't recommend it because people rightly feel like I'm already behind on my work. I have looming deadlines. I'm going to have to stay an hour late tonight to get everything done. And now you want me to clean the kitchen? Like, that's not what I've been hired for. So I think people rightly take issue with that. I mean, the other side of that argument is, yes, we all pitch in here because we're all making the mess. But then you get into like, you're paying someone $1 zillion a year to do very high level work. Do you really want them to devote less time to like lucrative client work to go in and wipe down the counters? Probably not.
Probably not.
And then you also get into all kinds of difficulties where you get someone who literally never uses the kitchen and they're up in arms that you want them to take a turn cleaning it. And very quickly you're litigating these issues that you really shouldn't be spending a lot of time on. It's easier to just pay someone to do it.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. Now, what about the difference between handling the situation in a large versus small office? Like, are there nuances that people who work in a smaller office could be aware of that people in a larger office might not have to worry about because maybe they do have like a professional cleaning staff, or maybe they have a dedicated office manager whose job it is to keep that space tidy. But in a small office, you may not have someone performing that role.
Yeah, in a small office, you might only have cleaners who come in like once a week. So there is more burden to keep it clean. On the other hand, you have less of that tragedy of the commons effect if there's only like four or five of you. But you learn each other's behavior very quickly in a small office. So like if there is a guy who always makes a mess in the microwave, like everyone knows who he is. Mm-hmm.
And how do you handle that guy? I mean, I didn't put this one in there just because when we get into the second segment, we have a microwave question, but it's not about food that we really have to talk about. But like, as long as we're talking about like, how do you handle the guy who's constantly microwaving the fish?
Yeah, well, I mean, so if it's fish, as opposed to just like splattering stuff all over the inside of the microwave, if it's something like heating up something that is widely agreed to have an unpleasant odor, like microwaved fish or broccoli too, it kind of is up to the individual office how to handle it. But I mean, some people have a very laissez-faire attitude about it, and they feel like food smells. And in some ways, what we find unpleasant and odors is very culturally driven. And maybe we don't want to get into saying, well, these foods are okay and these aren't, because there can be weird cultural divides there. Mm-hmm. But other offices are very comfortable saying no fish in the microwave, no burnt popcorn. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends. But I think if there's one person who's causing a problem, like whether it's heating up lots of smelly things or leaving gross caked food in there, someone needs to be empowered to say, hey, cut this out. Sometimes that's like the office manager type. Sometimes it's going to be that person's manager. But it's okay to say, hey, dude, you can't do that. You need to cut that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know. You guys, it's okay to tell the person to stop microwaving fish. You have Allison's permission. Just be culturally sensitive while you're doing it.
That's right.
I have to say, blessedly now I don't have to work in an office. I'm a freelancer and I love it. But for many, many years I worked in, you know, very, very corporate offices, and there were people who microwaved fish, and there was always a hesitation to say something because you didn't want to come across as being culturally insensitive and, you know, insulting their food or their choices or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I've been there for sure. I also would never dream of microwaving fish, which probably goes without saying, but I just felt like I had to say it. I actually won't even cook fish in my home. I'm so afraid of it. Like, I just live in fear. I really do. all right. Listen, you guys, on that very microwavy note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. In our second segment, we are going to be talking about microwave horror stories. Allison and I will be right back with that. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thank you. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Allison Green, otherwise known as Ask a Manager. All right, we have, I saved the big guns for the second segment, Allison. Are you ready for this? I feel like you're ready for
this.
I'm
ready.
Okay.
I am.
You're not shocked, right?
I'm not.
You've seen it all. Okay. I didn't think you would be. I just wanted to check in and make sure. All right. So, these are two different. One's a question and one is an office-wide email that a listener forwarded to me to use on the show. They're different but similar. I have nothing to contribute expert-wise to either of these other than to just sit here and be like, what the fuck? But hopefully Allison will help us make some sense of this. So the first one is Sam asked, a guy in our office would do his sitting down business in the restroom and make a deposit on the seat. And he would leave it there for the next customer. What the actual? How can this even be a thing? Where do you even begin on addressing these issues? All right. So that's number one. And then number two is this email that I got. As I said, it was an office-wide email that was forwarded to me by a listener who, you know, saw Allison and I putting out a call for kind of like office cleaning horror stories. And he was like, I don't have a question, but I have this email. Do you want it? And we were both like, yes, hello, hi. Are you familiar with our work? Of course we want to see this. Okay, so Mike shared this email. The subject line is, please read restroom etiquette. And it says, this is an email I never thought I would have to send out, especially in a professional environment such as ours. But it's gotten to the point where I can no longer remain silent about it, especially after receiving several complaints and being disgusted about the situation myself. I cannot speak for the men's restroom, but the stall walls in the women's restrooms are continuously adorned with boogers. Yes, you read right, boogers. This is not only unsanitary, but disgusting to look at every day. I find it very disturbing and hard to believe that this is happening in an office environment where we are all supposed to be professionals, let alone in the women's restroom. I have worked in filthy industrial settings where you couldn't walk from one end of the plant to the other without getting dirty, and the employees were a little rough around the edges. So I partially expected this type of behavior, yet I've never come across this before. Unfortunately, this is a situation that I cannot monitor for obvious reasons and cannot reprimand anyone for. However, I am asking for the sake of us who have to share our restrooms with those who are the violators, please stop doing this behavior immediately. It's not fair to expect housekeeping to have to clean up this type of mess, and it's certainly not pleasant for those of us who have to look at it every time we have to use the facilities. It's not like there isn't a supply of tissues in each stall to use for this purpose, so please use it. The last thought I will leave you with is this. Would you like it if someone did this to your bathroom walls at home? Ladies, please start acting like ladies. And the same goes for you, gentlemen, if this is also occurring in the men's room. We spend the majority of our days here, so please help to keep it clean. It makes for a much more pleasant environment. Thank you. So I have to say, before I just toss this one off to you to handle, the subject of boogers on being wiped on a public bathroom wall or shared bathroom wall is something that I've talked about on this show before. I unfortunately cannot remember when I talked about it, but I have a very distinct memory of talking about it and talking about it happening in a men's restroom. And the reason that I remember that part of it is because I remember saying, like, man, I wish I could have the confidence that comes along with having a dick, because I can't even imagine, like, standing at the urinal, like, dick in hand, pissing away, shoving my finger up my nose, like, rooting around in there, getting something out, and then wiping it on the wall. Like, that is so, like, the confidence level and the self-esteem you must have in order to do that is amazing to me. And I'm fascinated by that and by men, and, like, I just think it's so funny. So the reason that I know that I've talked about on the show is because I remember saying that. I just can't remember what the hell it was in the context was. And of course, in the show, I mean, it could have been an episode about, like, you know, I don't know, cleaning a cast iron pan, and I somehow, like, found myself on that tangent because that's how this show works. But I know that I've talked about it. So one of the things I say that to say this, that one of the things I was really excited about when Mike sent me this email, first of all, of course, I was excited just because, like, I love anything gross. But I was excited that it was happening in the ladies' room, because I was like, you know, I always love to be able to make the point that women are just as gross as men. And apparently when it comes to wiping boogers on the wall of shared bathrooms, we are. So, I mean, congratulations to us. Hooray for equality. Go, ladies. But stop doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Allison, talk to me about, I mean, I think that I expect you're probably going to refer back to the notion of the shared commons and the tragedy of shared commons. But talk to me about the leaving of personal, I mean, I guess,
remnants.
I was going to say fluids, not fluids, but, like, leaving a piece of poop behind, leaving a booger behind, and doing it regularly. I mean, it's not an accident. You know, I mean, it's clearly in the query from Sam, this is a repeat. This is a thing that happens. This isn't an accident. This person is aware of what they're doing.
So I have had a really disturbing number of letters and have read in other places a disturbing number of accounts of, like, really bad public bathroom behavior. I've never gotten a letter about the booger thing before, so that's a new gross thing.
Ooh.
But I've had a bunch of letters of, like, poop just not in the right place at all.
And we saw a few more of those. I mean, I picked Sam's out because I thought it was a good one, but, like, we saw a bunch of those in our call for questions. On Twitter.
So I think the booger one I think they're different. I think the booger one really is more tragedy of the commons, where people just do not give a crap. They're just going to, like, smear it wherever is convenient because it's not their home. Mm-hmm. But the poop one, I actually think that is, like, a deliberate antisocial act that has some sort of psychological something going on behind it. Just based on other stories I've heard where it's been in a really aggressive way, like smeared on walls or it's on the floor, or, like, it definitely wasn't, like, oops, that landed in the wrong place.
How'd that get over there?
Right. Like, there's a it's a deliberate act of aggression. So I think that one is a little bit different for that reason. But as far as what to do about it, I'm always really stumped by these questions and also pretty grossed out by them. And my comment section, for some reason, loves to talk about gross bathroom things.
Send them my
so
way.
On those days, I have to stay out of the comment section. But yeah, I'm pretty stumped. I don't know that anyone has a good answer for this kind of thing. I mean, people do gross things in the bathrooms. And if you really want to crack down on it, you can do things like keep the bathrooms locked and then you make people get a key from the front desk to use it. But it's not like you're going to check the bathroom after each use, but it does tend to make people feel a little bit more accountable for not leaving it in a disgusting state
Okay.
if they know that it could be traced back to them. But, you know, I think the bigger thing, more with the poop than with the boogers, I think if you're having a problem with that, it might make sense to look at whether, like, who are you hiring? Are you hiring responsible, emotionally stable people, or like maybe you're hiring sociopaths?
Okay, so that was going to be my next question. If you're seeing that kind of behavior and you're in a managerial or HR position, do you have should red flags be going up in terms of someone in the office potentially being a danger to themselves or to others?
I think not with the boogers. I think that's just like
No,
some
not
people
with
are
the
being gross. But
boogers, with
yeah,
the
with
poop smearing.
feces being left. I don't know if I would go as far as to say someone might be a danger to themselves or others, but I do think someone is acting out and sending a message. Like that is a really antisocial message to send, and someone is doing it deliberately. So somewhere in your office, something is not right. Either someone is really angry and expressing it in a really messed up way, or something is just going wrong. And I guess I would take it as a flag to step back and be like, just to really take a look around at what's going on and who's on staff and how they seem to be doing. But you know, I had a friend who was actually going through this in his office. He had an office of, I think, maybe like 12 or 15 people, and he was running the whole thing, and they had this continually happening in the women's bathroom. And they tried putting a lock on the door and made people check out the key, and it just kept happening. And then finally they fired someone, and it never happened again. So that's how they knew who it was. But it really is like a very difficult problem, I think, to track down.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it was it something, and you, I mean, you may not know the answer to this, but when they let the person go, I mean, when they fired her. So
Yeah,
obviously there
not for
was,
the pooping.
right, but obviously there were other problems. And then in
Yes.
hindsight, were they like, oh yes, we should have, it should have been fairly clear that this person was the pooper?
So that's exactly what I asked. And he said no. I mean, I agree with you that it's not terribly surprising that the person doing that is also someone who had some problems that led to them being fired. Like, you don't expect your highest performer in the office to be doing this in most cases. But then I also thought, what if it wasn't her and whoever was the pooper thought, oh, this is a really good opportunity to stop and I can frame her?
I like that. I feel like I'm not so sure that that's it, but I like that. 'Cause I think if you wanted
I
to
feel like,
I think if you wanted to stop, you would just stop.
yeah, but maybe you've been thinking about stopping and now you see an opportunity to like screw over someone else at the same time or to just like avoid blame being cast on
Okay.
you.
I hear you. I hear you. All right. Well, I mean, I bet basically don't, guys, don't put your boogers on the wall, and definitely don't smear poop in the office. Well, if you're that unhappy, look for another job. Look for
Yeah.
another job. Everyone, it'll be better for everybody involved.
But also, can we put out a call that if anyone listening does this or has done it, that they should get in touch with one of us? Because I would
Yes.
love to hear their story.
Yes, and we will keep you anonymous, and we will you can trust us that we won't share your personal information at all, but like we would really like to hear it if you've done this. We want to hear sort of what the circumstances were, why you were doing it, if you stopped, why you stopped. We want to hear everything. You can email me at Jolie Kerr, JolieKerr at gmail.com, and Allison can be reached at
Allison at askamanager.org. And I second that we won't reveal anything, but we also will not invite you to our homes.
No, we will not. And we should say it's Allison with one L.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's important. Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did I just say Allison at askamanager.com? Because that is not my email address.
I think that is what you said. What? Start try
It's dot org.
Okay.
That's
Okay,
so weird. I've had this address for years.
it's Allison with one L at askamanager.org.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Or you can just email me and I'll make sure. Allison, I promise I will share my emails with you. I will not keep them all to myself.
Thank you.
And also, I mean, we would really love to hear from you guys. Because I really want to have Allison come back on the show. We got so many questions. Like, it was really hard to pick the topics that we were going to cover in this. I wanted to get a mix of kind of like the common questions, like the sponge stuff, but then also, obviously, you guys know me, I love the gross out and the what I call the fun ones. But I definitely want to have Allison come back. So if you're the mad pooper in the office, or if you're the booger sticker, which, you know, they're two different acts, but like, I'd love to hear from the booger sticker. If you're wiping your boogers on the wall of the bathroom, I want to hear from you. That it would be great to have Allison come back and we can do a follow up on this.
Really, any kind of bad office cleanliness behavior that you are the perpetrator of, I think we want to hear it.
If you're the person microwaving the fish, we want to hear from you. Like, do you know you're doing it? Do you know that it's grossing everyone out? Are you aware of that? Like, do you just not care because you want to eat fish? Old fish for lunch?
I've had commenters on my site really dig in and defend themselves for microwaving fish. I'm trying to remember what their defense was, like more than one and very passionately. And I think it was that they felt like they had really limited options. Like maybe they had some dietary restrictions or I don't know. There was something going on where they felt like they didn't have a lot of options.
Can't you eat cold fish?
Yeah. Eat cold? That's what I said. You don't have to microwave it.
Can't you make a tuna fish sandwich?
Well, then a lot of people complain about the smell
of
tuna.
And the tuna fish sandwich is disgusting too. But I'd rather have someone eating a tuna fish sandwich than microwave fish.
Yeah, agreed.
Right. Yeah. All right. Speaking of the microwave, it's time for the big guns. You guys, I have not stopped thinking about this since it came up on Twitter. I have been distressed by it. I feel like I am now fully at the point of being completely traumatized by the mere existence of microwaves, between the roach microwave and this question and some other weird microwave stuff that's happened that's been brought to my attention lately. Like, I think I'm about to take an anti-microwave stance in general. But here we go. Let's do this one. Mary Gray. Hi, Mary Gray. Thank you for also following up and giving me more information on this. Mary Gray asked me on Twitter. So if someone in the office dried their socks in the communal microwave, how does that person get their foot germs out of the microwave? Is a Lysol wipe okay? Not a lot of cleaning options in the office. P.S. This was not me. I promise I'm not a monster. I have thoughts on how you can clean it. I also, at Allison's request, did follow up with Mary Gray, and I got some more information about the situation that I'm going to read for you guys and for Allison, and then we're going to talk about this. So basically what happened is that one of Mary Gray's friends she's in a group text with, texted the group text, and so this is what the office sock microwaver said. Said yesterday it was 70 degrees and perfect, and so this morning as I was leaving the house at like 6:15, by the way, because I took my friend to the airport before going to school, I kind of dressed for that, in that I was like, okay, so I need a coat now, but later I'll have to carry it. So I brought kind of a light one and then just figured I'd wear my gym shoes home. Anyway, it turns out today's weather is a torrential downpour of snow rain and it's windy as hell. So in the walk from the gym to the humanities building, I got totally dripping wet hair soaked. And my, sorry, this is like split up into text, sorry. And my gym shoes are like 6 years old and full of holes. So my feet got all wet too. Anyway, the end point of this is that I just microwaved my socks in the communal microwave, and I'm never going to tell anyone because that's a horrible thing to do, but I'm the first one here, and now my feet are warm.
Everyone out there is going to have to worry that this happened in their office.
I know. Well, if you don't work in a humanities building, you're okay. It's not you. But every single person who works in a humanities building anywhere in the world is going to have to worry.
I want to know more about what your advice is. I feel like you have to replace the microwave because this is so gross. Every time I heated up food in there, I would worry that it would have sock germs in it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I talk a lot on this show about the difference between actually clean and psychologically clean. And I think that this is one of those places where if you know, now see, the good thing is, I'm glad I did ask Mary Gray for the follow up. No one knows that this girl did this because she was the only one there and she's never going to tell anyone. And the thing is that technically speaking, just the act of using the microwave will kill any germs because that's the nature of how microwaves work. The waves themselves work. So there is no germ thing in there. And if you were the person who dried the socks in the microwave and maybe you felt bad and you were like, I should wash this out, even though like no one is going to know. If you just take the plate out, wash it the way that you would a dish, like either in the dishwasher or with a sponge, hopefully not a gross sponge, and hot soapy water. And then you just wipe the interior out with, you know, a paper towel and a little all-purpose cleaner or one of those like Clorox or Lysol wipes or anything like that. That's fine. That is going to get it clean. That's going to get it clean as if no socks had ever been cooked in there. But if you know the socks were in there, I don't know how you could ever use the microwave again for food. I know that I could not. And that's what I talk about when I talk about the difference between actually clean and psychologically clean. Like I am me. I am Jolie Kerr. I know almost everything there is to know about cleaning. I know how microwaves work. I know the science. I know the science of germs. I know the science of bacteria. I know how it gets killed. I know what products like Lysol wipes do. I know what microwave waves do. I know for a fact that that microwave is clean. But facts don't always trump feelings. And I would never feel like that microwave was clean. So I think you gotta throw that microwave away and get a new one.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's the funniest thing on this show too, because the answer is almost never, ever, ever throw it away and get a new one. I can always find a solution for you guys. But when it comes to microwaves, somehow I'm always just like, yep, no, you gotta throw it away. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if I'm a horrible person, because while you were talking, I just did a thought experiment and I realized that if I had microwaved my own socks in my microwave, I would be willing to keep using it. But like if my husband put his socks in there, I would not want to keep using it. There's something about like our own grossness, or my own grossness, that I'm okay with.
So it's fine. Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense to me. And again, I think that that speaks to this concept of psychological cleanliness, that like your husband's sock germs are not different from your sock germs, but psychologically you're okay with your own sock germs and you're not okay with his sock germs.
Yeah.
It's like another thing I talk about a lot I'm not on the show. I should talk about it on the show. I am going to talk about it on the show now. Is like, there's this funny thing that happens a lot of times when you first start dating someone where like, you know, you have this like these like hot and heavy, like romp in the sack sessions, right? Especially when you first start dating, hopefully when you first start dating. And then it becomes this whole weird thing of like, hey, is it okay if I use your toothbrush? Like, you just had your tongue in places.
Yeah.
Like way, way, way worse than where that toothbrush is going to go. But there's something about the act of sharing a toothbrush that feels psychologically grosser than, you know, putting someone, I'm sorry, Allison, putting someone's dick in your mouth.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. It's a crazy thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? You're going to be thinking about that one for weeks. You know, every time you look at your toothbrush, you're going to be like, God damn it, Jolie. What did you do to my mind? You broke my mind. So the psychological cleanliness thing is really weird. And there are lots of ways to explore it. The funny thing that happened about the socks and the microwave thing is that, you know, obviously I retweeted it and was like, what the hell is going on in the world? Like, what is wrong with people? And then I got, obviously, you know, again, because it's shocking and such a gross out thing. And so weirdly relatable in an odd way, too. I got a huge response to it. And the most shocking thing was the number of people who were like, oh, yeah, like someone in my office did this. Like, this is a thing. It's not just one person who did it. It's like a lot of people were being like, oh, yeah, someone once did that. And then like the funniest thing was that a lot of people were like, yeah, someone in my office did that. And the socks caught on fire. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, who raised you people that you think that this is okay? Like, one person was like, oh, yeah, one of my coworkers did that, like, not just socks, like, full on, like, took his pants off and his socks off and put them in and was walking around the office in a trench coat. And I was like a flasher? Like, what is that? How? And also, the worst thing is, so he put his jeans in, and jeans have metal, and so they sparked.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is what's so great about doing workplace advice, because you're thrown together with people who you wouldn't normally be choosing to spend time with, and so often you get people who have very different norms and standards of behavior, and you assume going in that there's going to be, like, this veneer of professionalism over everything, but there totally isn't.
Yeah.
So you get really strange situations. I love it.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's just crazy to me. I mean, given your expertise, is there anything that can be done about getting people to not cook their socks in the microwave? Like, or is that just one of those things that, like,
I like
leaving boogers on the wall? Like,
yeah, like, you don't need a rule about everything. It's reasonable to expect that people will act with a certain degree of common sense. And occasionally someone will just do something ridiculous. But you don't want to react to everything by posting a sign or making a new policy. That gets, it's just too much. Right. You talk to the person who did it. You say, hey, you can't do this. Only food can go in the microwave from now on. And you're banned from fish because you did these socks. And then you buy a new microwave.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Allison, thank you so much for joining me. This was amazing. It went by way too fast. I'm excited to have you come back. As a reminder, if you are the office poop smearer, we really, really want to hear from you. We promise, promise, promise we will give you anonymity. We will also be gentle with you and your experience. But we really are curious and we'd really, really like to hear from you. On that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Allison, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Absolutely. Can you tell the people the name of your book and where they can find it and all that good stuff?
Yep. The book comes out today. It's called Ask a Manager, How to Navigate Clueless Colleagues, Lunch Stealing Bosses, and the rest of your life at work. And you can buy it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold.
Excellent. 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 And where can they find you on social and your website and all that good stuff?
My website is askamanager.org. And on Twitter, I am askamanager.
Very good. Excellent branding. And if you guys like what you've heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.